Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your honor, and your power. Thank you for everybody who's under the sound of my voice this morning and in the days ahead. If anybody reviews this online, we thank you for the small tent, the wonderful gathering that's in the tent just across the path. We want to thank you all for joining us today, but we want to thank you, Lord, for being present in every section, every part of our gathering today. Lord, powerful, present, working in every heart in Jesus' name. We dedicate our time to you, and we open our hearts to you in Jesus' name and to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever felt really, really lost? Put your hand if you've ever felt really, really lost. Well, a number of years ago, I think it was 2006, Janet and I were, and Danielle, we were in Europe. We were on part of a sabbatical. And we picked up a little rental car just on the outside of the big ring road that goes around Paris, center of Paris. It was a Peugeot, little Peugeot station wagon. It was a Euro lease. I'd gone to the Peugeot agent in Christchurch here, measured the boot of the little station wagon, worked out our luggage so everything would fit in perfectly into this boot of this little Peugeot station wagon, and even re-bought a couple of bags that fitted properly and so on and so forth. And we came time to go and rent the car. And it was just as GPS was coming on stream, but I couldn't afford GPS at the time. I looked at the budget. It was going to be another $600 on the rental, which at that time was actually beyond our budget. I looked at buying a GPS, but the same thing. It was a bit beyond our budget. Janet is a wonderful map reader. She used to do vintage car rallies with her father and work the maps, and she's a great map reader. And she knows a little bit of French. Very little German. Anyway, we rented this little car. And we spoke to the people at the counter, and they printed off some instructions for us. And then we had another set of instructions we'd got as well. They were both different. We wanted to head to Reims. Anybody know where Reims is? Two sets of instructions. One says turn left, such and such. I think the other one might have said turn right. And we get out on this first time I've ever driven a car that's where the steering's on the other side. Those of you who have done that, you know what that's about. And I'm on the other side of the car fighting all of my natural neurons, neuron pathways. The indicators and wipers all back to front. Janet's on this side, not on this side. And all of this stuff's going on. I drive out to the intersection, turn left. Immediately, we come to some roadworks. And immediately, and we've got a set of traffic lights, we're trying to figure out which way do we go. There was a little track up there that we were sort of being directed to go up. And then there was another option, and maybe another option, I don't know. Suddenly, the countdown is on because the traffic light's going to go green. You know what it's like under pressure, don't you? Somebody's counting down and you have to make a decision and you don't know what the right decision is. And suddenly I'm in this situation, I just have to go. Well, I went the wrong way. Went up this little thing onto the motorway, going in exactly the opposite direction that we needed to go. We got on this motorway, I'm fighting all of my natural instincts to, you know, in terms of the position you're driving in and I'll tell you what, it was so intense. No GPS, Janet's got a map, but here we are, and we end up having to stay on this motorway. We go right around in the exactly opposite direction. We're meant to be going east, we're going west. We eventually figure out how to get off this motorway. We get off this motorway, we pull over into this little siding sort of thing, and I'm going, we're on earth. And I'm looking for a shop where there might be somebody in I could go in, and maybe they'd have a little bit of English, or I could show them a map or something. And Janet's in the car with the map still. I go over to the shop and there's people back in there, but nobody's coming to the door. And I've got this weight of responsibility for the safety of my wife and my daughter, and I don't know where on earth I am. I know I'm in Paris, but I have no idea. I felt so incredibly lost. just like, there was nobody I could talk to. The street signs were all French. So then I saw a couple of people at a bus stop. And I walked up to the, one of them knew a little bit of English. By that time, somebody had pulled in into the vacant car space beside Janet. And I thought, did they know a little bit of English? No. You knew a little bit of French. Yeah. Somehow, we figured out on this map where we were and what to do. It wasn't, still wasn't very good what to do, but it was at least something to do. But I just want to say this. I've never felt so lost in all my life. I felt really vulnerable. I felt all of my normal go-tos, were not there. The Lord was there, obviously. But in terms of my natural go-tos, my natural things that I'd normally just rely on, it just wasn't there. Cellular connection wasn't, I don't think, was available. We would have had to buy another SIM card, and we tried to do that, but nothing seemed to work. And it was just, I've never felt so incredibly lost. And you know, more and more are getting more and more in touch with how lost humanity actually is. And so in that state of lostness, to have somebody that could speak a few words of English and then somebody who could actually direct me on the map where I needed to go was like light bursting forth. It was like light coming into my heart, and suddenly the pressure and the lostness and it wasn't panic, it was different to panic. Just this horrible, horrible feeling of being lost and nobody to help started to ease. I want to tell you, it's recorded so beautifully in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says this, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. And so even today, if you're in this room, if you're in the smaller tent, if you're online, if you're watching online, or you're watching a day or a week to come, and you're feeling lost, I want to tell you, my friend, there is somebody who knows how to find you. And you don't have to live in the sense of lostness anymore. There's somebody who can actually direct you to the true eternal home, to the heart of the Father, to the one who truly loves you beyond anything else, beyond anybody else, and you can actually find what it is to feel like you've come home. We made our way onto the motorway and or back onto some big road and eventually got out somewhere. Then we had another episode, another horrible episode of feeling horribly lost. And then a dear person pulled up in a car, a lady, and somehow must have figured out that we were struggling, and she managed to somehow communicate, follow me. So I ended up following her. Man, I tell you, I kept my eyes on that car like an absolute hawk. And the nervousness of coming up the streetlights where she might get through and I might have to stop, you know. Anybody ever felt that? And this lady we followed this lady around to another place where we were off the motorway again, and I think may have been near some shops or something. But then it happened kind of again. I felt lost again, you know. This went on for a few days. We made it to Reims, and we got some accommodation there and so on. And then we had a few other experiences like that, but things started to get better as I got used to driving on that side of the road, and Janet was reading maps and trying to figure out the French and this and that. Then we're into Germany and figuring out the German. That was really hard. Ausfahrt, you know. I can still feel it. The sense of being lost, you know. But in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. The sense of disorientation that comes with feeling lost. The sense of powerlessness that comes from feeling lost. The sense of just not knowing what the future holds when you feel lost. The feeling of vulnerability. All of those feelings and many more are rising in our society. I'm so glad that Jesus has found us. For those of us who are found, I'm so glad that Jesus has found us. And he's connected us with our true eternal home. Amen? And that is available for absolutely every person. Absolute one that says this. This is the Passion Translation and reads beautifully in a beautiful, clear manner. And Jesus has been ministering. There's been some amazing things happen. He's just been speaking to the Jews and some of the leaders of the Jews and talking about a range of things. And then he comes into this place in verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. This would have been, though, that group of people would have been considered the most lost group of people in Israel. The tax collectors, I mean, our IRD people are nothing compared to these guys back there. Those guys are, you know, totally different ballgame, totally different system. Some may not believe that, but it is a totally different traitor to the Lord, traitor to the people, and was totally despised. And so they hung out with them by themselves as fellow tax collectors. Because after all, you could be friend with another tax collector because everybody else had rejected you. Not only that, but often what they termed it, the notorious sinners, often hung out as well. And often they may have been prostitutes, they may have been whatever, they may both men and women, you know, all sorts of situations, but they hung out together. And they often party together because nobody else would party with them. They would be together because nobody else wanted to be near them. But they found in Jesus somebody that somehow spoke a language and spoke in terms that somehow was so deeply connecting to their heart. This Jesus, who was a profound teacher and the most profound worker of miracles, where people were getting delivered of demonic possession and oppression, people who were blind, lame, people that were lepers, people were getting healed in such dramatic numbers. And the way he would teach and the way he would speak about the Lord, the way he would speak about the law, the way he would speak about the heart, the way he would speak about the love of God for people, somehow so connected with these rejected, despised, most notorious sinners that they would try and be in the crowd to hear and listen to what Jesus was saying. The leaders and the teachers of the day would often want them evicted from anywhere near them. But Jesus, they were comfortable with. Somehow they were drawn to in a very, very powerful way. So this raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and the experts of the law. Indignant, they grumbled. That's a great reputation. That's a very comforting word. In response, Jesus gave them this illustration. There once was a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out on the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he finally found it. With exuberant joy, he raised it up and placed it on his shoulders, carrying it back with cheerful delight. Returning home, he called all his friends and neighbors together and said, "Let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me." At that same way, there will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, who comes back home. And who returns to the fold, more so than all the righteous people who never strayed away. Wow. This he was teaching in the ears of the people who were considered the most lost in society. And here Jesus in this beautiful parable, one of three that speak of lost things, a lost lamb, and then a woman who loses a coin, one of the ten, in current value, around about $1,200 US, maybe $1,500 US by now. So it wasn't just a 10-cent piece. Okay? Very valuable coin. And then, of course, the third parable in this series of parables is the parable of the lost son. Two lost sons, actually, but it majors on the one who goes away and wastes the inheritance in a foreign land and then comes back absolutely destitute. These three parables give us incredible insight into the heart of our Heavenly Father. Gives us amazing insight into the heart of Jesus himself. So here today in our society where people can feel incredibly lost, we have this, those of us who know we are found, those of us who know we've come home to the heart of the Father, those of us who know that we're totally welcome and clean and spotless in the eyes of the Father and we're totally at home in him, we are the ones who have the message of hope. We are the ones who have the message. Peter says we need to be able to give reason for the hope that is within us. Rob and I were talking earlier this week, talking about this issue of there are so many people struggling, not having any hope. Everything they had hope with before has moved. Their business has died, or their business has failed, or it may fail in the next lockdown. Tourism businesses have shut down. All sorts of things have changed. People who don't want to take the vaccine are being treated as though they're second-rate people and can't go into this place and can't go into that place. Societal division has ramped up so much in this last 2 years, and it's been deliberately engineered. So many people have lost their sense of anchoring and their sense of orientation. And it exposes the real hope or the lack of real hope that's in the heart. It exposes it. It brings it into sharp relief. It exposes the reality of the fact that for many, the hope has been in the temporal thing. So they're disorientated. You don't have to be disorientated. There is a life, there is a home, there is a place in the heart of God which is eternally secure for every person who would turn their heart to him and welcome the Son of God into their heart. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And if you're feeling lost today, if you're lost in this section, in the tent across the path, or if you're lost in the lounge, if you're lost online, I want to tell you, my friends, there's one who's out to find you. I was found. Janet was found. My kids have been found. I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus is out to find you. So you can hide if you want, but Jesus is out to find you. The Holy Spirit is out to find you. And the saints of God who have this hope in their hearts are out lost anymore. You don't have to be wondering, what on earth does this life hold anymore? I want to tell you what this world holds. This life holds the opportunity for you to be reconciled back to your Father, your Creator, the one who establishes and has established your true value, your true worth, and your true life. And it's not a temporal offer. It's an eternal thing. It's an eternal hope. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And I want to tell you, my friends, as is revealed in this beautiful parable, it's not a reluctant thing. It's not a, oh, well, you've really messed up your life, haven't you? Well, I'll forgive you. Come back and be a good boy for the rest of your life and I'll forgive you. Promise me this, promise me that, promise me whatever. You know, you just hide in the corner and don't show your face too much, but I'll let you in. But he is so excited. Heaven is so excited. The heavenly angels are so excited. The saints of God are so excited when somebody gets found. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. It's a wonderful thing to be found. I remember the sense of finding and the light coming into my mind, into my heart, when somebody began to show me the map and show me a direction. It was like light was coming into my darkness. I want to tell you, and that was just a fleeting thing. It only probably lasted half an hour, that terrible sense of feeling lost. But some people have felt lost just about all their lives. Maybe somebody felt they were found, but in the recent times they've felt this increasing sense of, oh, I don't know if I really, where I'm really at. What I want to tell you, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. He's profoundly, profoundly interested in you. He so profoundly wants you to know you're found. He doesn't want you to live in this world lost. He came to seek and save that which was lost. So you'll have opportunity to open your heart to him in a little while. But I felt this morning as I was praying just a couple of words that are kind of connected into this. Just a couple of words of knowledge, and I'm just going to ask for those, if you identify this with, just to respond in your given section, in the tent, small tent, and the lounge, if there's anybody in the lounge. And if you want to respond to this online, this will apply to you. These are the two words of knowledge that I felt were words of knowledge that came to me. It was someone who had become very lost as a child, or lost as a child. And in that time of being lost, there was terror, and there was a deep sense of fear. It robbed you, and the thought of venturing into the unknown terrifies you. So this was set up in your life. It was set up when you were a child. There was some experience you had where you became really lost, or you had the feeling of being really lost, and there was terror and there was fear associated with it. The ongoing effect from that has been the ongoing sense of vulnerability, profound under a vulnerability, but also the thought of venturing into the unknown is like, it's like, just, that's a terrible thing. That's, you just don't want to go there. You just do not want to think about venturing into the unknown. And yet, in the life we're living these days, there are a number of unknowns for a number of people. Venture into them we must. Amen. So if that's you, and you want to respond, just stand. If that's you, just stand where you are. We we'll minister to you. There was a second one. I see another person who had to hide in terror. You had to hide. You had to hide to escape a very genuine threat. As a result, you've lost a sense of confidence. Hiding from anything that feels threatening or uncomfortable is now your normal. This has restricted your life, and it's actually restricted your potential. Could we all stand for a moment? If you identify with that, I'd love you to come up to the front of each section. If you identify with that first one, where you felt that very lost as a child, and the sense of terror and deep fear, and now the deep sense of vulnerability, and rob you of the confidence and the thought of being able to venture into the unknown, the idea of the unknown, and as a result you've lost a sense of confidence, and hiding from anything that feels threatening or uncomfortable is now your normal, and this has restricted your life and potential. If there's any in the smaller tent, I think there's ministry people in the smaller tent will minister to you. Julie, and you've both responded, have you? Just come on out here a bit. Janet, could I get you, and perhaps Sally and Wayne, could just come over, begin to minister. Maybe Paulette as well here. And we've got some ministry people on this side. Where are we here? I'm just looking. Perhaps Vilma. I'm just looking. Nico, you're on sound. Anybody? John, perhaps, and could you come up and begin to minister here? John, I'm just looking for people. Where are we? Just come on up. Nico, if you're able to come up, and you're on that side, aren't you? Sorry, yeah. You'll man. I'll rules. Oh, Ruth's here. Great. Thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you for coming in. Right now, thank you, Father. We just right now just begin to pray and minister to each individual. But I'm gonna lead you in some prayer. If you could join me in prayer, and this is for the person who was found, who you felt very lost. Pray after me, Father. I thank you that you have found me. I thank you that I am now home, safely in you. I thank you, Lord, for pinpointing this issue this morning. And in Jesus' name, I break all agreement with the spirit of terror and the spirit of lostness. That may sound strange, but that's what I'm... with the spirit of lostness. Amen. I command them to leave my life now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of terror, every spirit of fright, and the spirit of lost, go from my life now in Jesus' name. I thank you for your anointing, breaking the yoke of bondage right now. Just Vilma and John, just pray for a dear friend here. Now, those of you who had to run and hide, or you had to hide and escape, and hide and tear, just feel free to keep praying. A bit of anointing. Father, in Jesus' name, right, just pray with me if that's your situation. Father, in Jesus' name, I break all agreement with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, I break my agreement with those spirit powers that have tried to imprison my life. In Jesus' name, I step out of that place of hiding and the spirit, that place of false safety, the place of false safety. I step out of it now. You need to take at least one or two steps forward. Those of you who are being ministered to in this way, if that's you, 80, if that's you, begin to take a couple of steps forward and begin to step out of that place of false safety. It's a place of false safety now because you don't need it anymore. It's now a place of, it's been a place of restriction to you. You do not need that anymore. Now you're in a place where you've got the Lord with you, where you've got power. And I loose you in Jesus' name. I loose you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now. I loose you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Shadabarunda. And online, I loose you in Jesus' name. I break the power of those spirit forces off your life right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Shadabarunda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Shadabarunda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, right now. We thank you, Jesus. And if you've really felt lost in life, or you've felt lost in terms of God, in terms of not knowing Christ, not knowing your Father, your Heavenly Father, not knowing who you are, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand. If that's you, just put up your hand. Anybody in here? Anybody on this side? Anybody in the small tent? Oh, I can't see any hands in the small tent. Pray together anyway. We're going to pray together. So, Father, in Jesus' name right now, I thank you for every person who may hear this voice, may hear my voice, may hear this message, Lord, that would open their heart to you in Jesus' name. Pray with me this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've sought me, that you've come looking for me, and in Jesus' name, I open my heart to you. And I receive you, Lord, into my life as my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sin. I repent of it. And I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Lord, welcome me into your family. I am now yours, and you are now mine. Lord, I'm not lost anymore. You've found me. Come into my life. Be my... Hallelujah. What we're going to do today is we're going to just have communion together, each in our own section. It's not being handed out to you. What's going to happen is you're just going to come and take of the bread and take of the cup yourself. And we'll stand together and we'll pray. So just begin to make your way and take the bread, take the cup, and come on up. And God bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Shut up, Adonda. Just begin to take up. And then just stand around in your section, wherever you want to stand around. Just come and take the cup, take the bread. Thank you, Father. And just grab your bread and your cup and just move to one side of it so other people can get through behind you. Hallelujah. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. It was the Passover bread, of course. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," or a better translation would be, "torn for you." Because we know that not one bone in his body was broken, but his flesh was terribly torn. "This is my body, torn or broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the fact that by his stripes we were healed. You proclaim the fact that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement needed to bring us peace with God was laid upon him. And he showed the complete victory and the complete effectiveness of his sacrifice. Father, interceding, ministering for his church, to his church and his people, sending the power, sending the Holy Ghost, sending all the resources we need that he purchased through his blood and through his flesh. All the mercy, all the kindness, all the forgiveness, all the righteousness, all of the everything we need, all of the delivering power, healing power, all of the power that steadies our mind, gives us peace, secures our souls. The very life of God himself, Zoe life, eternal life, released into our hearts and in our lives. All of the treasure of heaven that's ours. All the promises, the precious promises that are good for this life and the life to come, they're all ours. Through the blood, through the flesh of Jesus, through the body of Jesus. We proclaim today. Let's eat together, church. In order as we drink together, of the cup of the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant. You are betrothed to us, and we are betrothed to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You've given us hope. You've found us. You've anchored us. You've given us a home. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for joining us in the small tent. Thank you for being in the lounge. Thank you for joining us online. Trust you have a wonderful Christmas. If you're able to join us here Christmas Eve, that would be wonderful. But if we don't see you then, God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas day if you're with family or friends or however your situation is. God bless you. May his presence be so totally tangible and real for you. Amen. God bless you.